don't mind, why don't you stand at this time, stretch. Prepare to receive the engrafted word. Remember the Mark selection, 692, as your song of invitation. I'm going to sing the first stanza and the last stanza, and the next voice you hear will be that of Brother Emmett Collins. When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will.
Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen. So I appreciate the songs and the prayer that were rendered for us as we began our worship to the most holy God and Father of heaven and earth. I want to say good morning to you, and whether you're a member of this Franklin family, a visitor or virtual guest, I'm grateful that you are here today and grateful that God has brought us together for yet another opportunity for worship, praise, and fellowship among those of us that be the saints of God. Now, shall I move my Bible to several verses? Of course, they won't be on the board today. Like the brother said, we're going back old school, which is wonderful, flipping through the pages of the Holy Writ. And my invitations for you to join me there is these verses will serve as a context for today's lesson entitled Experiencing God. Experiencing God. You know, one of the things that I thought about this particular week as our anniversary was on Friday, my wife and I have some 38 years. I thought about relationships. Now, each and every one of us are bound by a relationship. Some relationships are good, some are not so good. Some are sour and some are sweet. But nevertheless, we are bound by relationships, and they actually become a part of who we are and how we live. Relationships. They are integral part of our lives and definitely who we are. And as Israel entered a relationship with God, I want you to know that Israel's faith was built upon God's intervention into the life of the children of Israel. The center of the Old Testament teaching is about God. Yet the Old Testament makes no effort to prove the existence of God. You know, there's a good reason for that, because the Old Testament teaching is not based upon a speculation that there is a God, but it's based upon the experience of Israel that God exists. And how you believe and how you trust in your own spiritual life, how you believe and how you trust in God makes a big difference in how you relate to others as well as your relationship to God. Israel came to know God by their experience of God. But today, in the day and time that we live, our belief in God often comes from speculation. But Israel, Israel derived her faith in God from her experience of God. Because the experience of Israel was based upon the fact that God played a part in Israel's history, that God played a part in Israel's life. And how you base your experience with God should be based on your history and how God intervenes in your very life. Because God, just like Israel, has chosen you for himself. And as he has chosen you for himself to be his bride, he comes and he whispers in our ears his will for our lives. It's obvious that the key to believing in God is understanding and experiencing the nature of the true and the living God. Not only that, but to surrender our will to the lives, to surrender our lives to the will of God's purposes for our lives. Too many people want to be in relationships, but they don't want to be vulnerable. They don't want to surrender themselves at all to the relationship. They want their will to be what it's going to be. They run the whole roost. They run it. Some people in relationships, sadly enough, are walking around on eggshells because they refuse to have a conversation about the relationship being what God has called it to be. God doesn't walk around on eggshells when he calls for us to be in a relationship with him. It's simply up to us, because God loves us beyond we can ever think or imagine. It's up to us to become vulnerable enough to love God back, to love him at such a point that we become vulnerable and we surrender our own selves to the will of God. We surrender to God that we might win in a relationship with him. We've got to understand that the key to believing in God is to understand and experience his nature and surrender ourselves totally and completely to God. And the question is, how are you doing with that? Have you surrendered yourself to God? Have you surrendered your life to God? Have you, even in these years of being a Christian, have you ever experienced God in your life? Or just the thought that God was in your life? It's two different things. Two different things. You look at the word Elohim. That's a Hebrew name for God. The prefix El means the strong and helping one. In Israel, in their experience of God, they gave rise to a lot of names for God. Because it was in Egypt where Israel learned that God was a strong and the helping one. He led them out of bondage. He led them out of their sinful capture by those in Egypt and the Pharaoh. He led them out of that. The proof to Israel that God's existence wasn't found in human reasoning was that it was found in God's activity. Too many of us see God through our own human reasoning and not the activity of God. You go all the way back to the book of Genesis, the Bible says, in the beginning, God. Next sentence, in the beginning, God. Next sentence, in the beginning, God. The proof of God's experience in our lives is because of God's own activity and not our reasoning. Moses, he led the Israelites out of Egypt. And as he did that, he made no effort to tell them about the rationale for God. But it revealed the very nature of God that led them out of Egypt. Because Israel had already experienced the presence of God. They saw the fire and they saw the cloud. They saw the miracles of God in the desert. They already experienced the presence of God by their deliverance. But they didn't have a clear understanding of his nature. We talk all the time about God, but do we have a clear understanding about God and who he is? Do we just talk about God, or have we ever experienced God in our lives? I need you to hear me this morning. So I need you to hear me. And you might remember this. I want you to listen to what I'm saying here this morning. And because I'm going to know that you listen to me, I want you to take, you've heard it before, take and put your finger on your chin just like this. You're not listening because it's on your cheek. I need you to hear me this morning. We have to experience God in our lives. In order to experience God in our lives, we need to hear his very word. Because too many of us as Christians, we buy into God and the promise of God, but we're not experiencing it in our lives. I need you to hear me. We experience God's presence in our lives through obedience. Through obedience. See, God was not only revealing himself to the Israelites, he was revealing himself to the world around them as well. Because the world had as its witness God's love for Israel proclaimed before their very eyes. God loved Israel so much, he delivered them from the pains of their enemies. Here's what Rahab had to say in Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. It proves that God had as a witness the world that he loved his people. Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, Rahab speaks these words. I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og and the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I've shown kindness to you. God has a witness, his activity in the lives of the Israelites. And he should have a witness in our lives as well, the activities that God has done for us and has blessed our lives with, the things that we take for granted over and over and over again. We ought to see them as God's activity in our lives and how we actually experience God in our lives. We've got to stop talking about God, and we've got to be about God. We've got to experience the presence of God in our lives. God sent the Christ. He did. And when the incarnate Christ descended to this world to reveal to us the very nature of God, you know how he did it? He did it through relationships. He did it through those relationships that were around him. He didn't shun his family and says, you know what, I know y'all too well, so I'm going to go over to the stranger, because we treat strangers better than. We beat our family down and we take a stranger in and we give them everything we have and our families are without. What's the relationship there? You can't have a relationship with your family, you certainly won't have one with God. Talking about God and not being about God are two different things. In order to experience God in your life, you have to have a relationship with God. And mind you now, relationships can be superficial as well. I'm talking about pouring out your heart to God, pouring out your love to God, pouring out your life to God. I'm talking about experiencing God in your life. How are you doing with that? Got to stop talking about God and actually serve God and love God, so that people can see God in us and also glorify God. Personal relationships. That's how Jesus did it. Jesus didn't come with a doctrinal discourse on the attributes of God. He set the example of the attributes of God in his relationship with those around him. We've got to set an example that God lives in us, so that people around us can know full well that Emmanuel is present. God is with us. Here's what Jesus said. John chapter 1. Open your Bibles up. We're going old school. John chapter 1. I'm sorry, John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 6 through 14. He showed who God was through relationships. This is what he said in John 14, 6 through 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And if you really knew me, he's talking about relationships now, right? If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well, because me and my Father have a good relationship. From now on, you do know him and have seen him, because you've seen me. And incredible. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that's good enough for us. And too many of us feel the same way. Show us God, and that's enough for us. We don't need to get to know him. Just show him to us. Jesus said, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father's in me? These words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me. Isn't that incredible? It's the Father living. I'm experiencing God living in me. Believe me when I say that I am the Father and the Father's in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. What has he been doing? Showing him the Father. What are we doing? Do we believe in God? What is our experience with God? What is our relationship with God? Are we doing the same thing that Christ did? Are we showing him the Father? God wants to experience in each and every one of us in a very practical way. In order to experience God in a very practical way in each and every one of us, he has revealed himself in and as Jesus Christ, God's Son, and our Savior. Even says in John 8:24, if you believe that I am not he, you will die in your sins. Let me talk about belief. Belief. But there are some who don't believe at all. And the word for them is called atheists. It's atheists, right? Atheism in the Old Testament was not a denial of God. Listen to me. It wasn't a denial of God, but it was a belief that God could be left out of their lives with no consequence. It's practical atheism. We believe in God, but we also believe that he can be left out of our lives and we don't have to face any consequences. How are we experiencing him then? We grew up as a child saying, you know what? I might be able to get away with this because my mom won't know about it. I can do it and have no consequence. That's how we do with God. It was practical atheism. They believed in the existence of God, and too many of us as Christians, we believe in the existence of God, but we don't think that God is interested in our own personal affairs because we want to do it ourselves. You've heard somebody speak of a non-Christian religion, and they say, well, you know, be careful, Brother Kyle. Be careful, because after all, they believe in God as well, don't they? I'm talking about impractical atheists. People who believe in God, but believe in his existence is not consequential to their experience in life. God comes in, and he wants to be a part of our lives, that we might have an experience of who he is and what he calls us to be. But in our impractical atheism, we believe in God, but we don't believe that he can affect the change in our lives. Because we got this, we got it. We're grateful for all these blessings. We got it. In Psalm chapter 10, verses 1 through 11, the psalmist describes this type of atheism that was prevalent in the lives of Israel. Psalm 10, 1 through 11, here's what he says. Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In his arrogance, the wicked man hunts down the weak and who are caught in the schemes of his devices. He boasts of the cravings of his heart. He blesses the greedy and reviles the Lord. Verse number 4. In his pride, The wicked does not see God. In all its thoughts, there is no room for God. How are we doing with that? What is our hearts filled with on a daily basis? Do we experience God on a daily basis? His ways are prosperous. He is hardy, and your laws are far from him. He sneers at all his enemies. He says to himself, nothing's going to shake me. I'm always happy, and I never have any trouble. Ever meet anybody like that? His mouth is full of curses and lies and threats. Trouble and evil are under his tongue. He lies in wait near the villages. From ambush, he murders the innocent, watching in secret for his victims. He lies in wait like a lion in cover. He lies in wait to catch the helpless. He catches the helpless and drags them off in his net. His victims are crushed. They collapse. They fall under his strength. He says to himself, same thing we say. God has forgotten about us. He's forgotten. He covers his face, and God never sees us. Too many people feel like that in the world and in the church as well, that God has forgotten us, and he covers his face and never sees us. Where's your experience with God? How about we switch that around? Have you forgotten about God? Do you cover your face and never see who God is? Where is your experience in your life with God? Cover our faces all the time. We believe that God has forgotten us. Practical atheism. That's what it's called. Let me tell you something. You see, when the fear of God is gone from your life, all the decisions of your daily life are threatened as well. Every last one of them. The psalmist in this psalm, he looks at the actions of the enemies, and he realizes that the enemies believe in God, but they have no fear of God or fear of the punishment that they do for evil. They just go out and rampantly do it. They believe in God just like we do. Well, he ain't gonna do nothing. He ain't gonna do a thing. And this type of atheism, I'm trying to get you to understand. Are you listening to me? This type of atheism is born out of your will rather than your mind. Because you see, your mind believes in God, but your will denies him because you refuse to surrender your lives totally to his will. We don't want to totally surrender to God because we got things we got to do on our own. We got things we want to do. We can't give our whole lives to God. What is that? I'll tell you something. It made me think about relationships. Because I have given my whole life to my wife. I don't know how you're doing in your relationship. Give my whole life through the ups and the downs, through the goods and the bads, through the joys and the sorrows. Give my whole life in relationship to my wife because we have experienced each other and God through our lives. It's a blessing. That's what it is. It wasn't because of me. Wasn't because of her. It was because of God. And I continually say, I do not know how God puts up with me. I'm talking about my experience with God in my own life. I'm trying to get you to look at your experience with God in your own life. How are you doing with that? We need to experience God. And if we experience God in such a way that God is pleased, this building ought to be running out to the street overflowing. I'm happy with who we have now, though. Even the psalmist, when you look at what he's reading here, the psalmist, he doubts moments when he thinks that believing God, he says, has no blessing even for those that are abused. Because he asks the question, why, O Lord, do you stand afar off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? We hide from God for everything else except when we get in trouble. We want him to see us then. But we want to experience him then. And we want to experience him in some silly ways. Lord, you know my light bill getting ready to be cut off. What? What about your soul? What about that? Psalm chapter 10, Flip them Bibles. Verses 12 through 18, Psalm 10, 12 through 18. The psalmist says, arise, Lord. Lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. Why does the wicked man revile God? Why does he say to himself, he's not going to call me to account. God ain't even bothering with me. But you, O God, do you see trouble and grief? You consider it to take it in hand. The victim commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and evil man. Call him to account for his wickedness that would not be found out otherwise. You got any secrets? We experiencing God in our lives, talking about him all the time, and we got secrets that we even forgot some of them. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations will perish from his land. You hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed, and all of that man who is of the earth may terrify no more. The psalmist reveals an element of doubt in what he's writing there. But then he reveals that he believes that those abused will experience the deliverance of God in their lives. Those that are abused, God comes to their rescue. The most interesting thing about this psalm to me, though, is that he's looking for God in what he is experiencing in his life right now. And that's what we ought to do. We ought to look for God in what we experience in our lives right now, regardless of the station of our life, regardless of what's going on in our life, joys or pains. We ought to be looking for God right now to have an experience with him in our lives. Because it's in times such as these that we need God more than ever. And we don't need to get in our hearts and minds that God's existence is inconsequential to our lives. It's practical atheism. That's what it is. And faith in God becomes impractical when it fails to motivate us to experience the presence of God in our lives. What else is out there? What else are we looking for? What else is that we need to experience? We know Brother Constant never experienced the Rocky Mountains. I think I'm going to go and see that. You never experienced hell either. You're living on the edge of it. Never experienced heaven either, but I guarantee you one thing. When you look at God's scriptures, he gives you an idea of what it's going to be like. And it motivates us to experience God's presence in our lives. We've experienced God's forgiveness. We have as Christians. But we've got to go beyond forgiveness if we're going to develop a faith, listen, based on the experience of God in our lives. In our own lives, not somebody else's life. We look at people too much and compare ourselves to other people. Let's talk about the experience of God in your own life. How you doing with that? Because see, faith today has been reduced to an intellectual pursuit of God. In the church, all the church does is debate about trivia. Debate about everything and nothing, right? Because see, a faith to me that's rooted in our experience of God, it goes beyond religious intellectualism or all that philosophy that people out there are teaching in our times. There are too many Christians that love to argue about the Bible rather than take the message of the Bible seriously and experience it in their own lives. Too many people feel like that we just need to be a copy of the Old Testament church. Let's copy the first, let's go all the way back to Acts chapter, and let's do it. Listen, we're not merely to be a copy of the first century church. Because many people in the church today, they want to sort of clone everything that the first Christians did, including the customs of those times. We don't live in those times. Our task is to find the relevance of the gospel in this age, right now, today. That's what our task is. We are meant to be the original and the practical church of this century by experiencing God in our lives for ourselves. We can't live through nobody else, and the forefathers can't live through us, but we can live as we experience God in our lives right now. What is the church about right now? And mind you, you are the church. The world doesn't need a copy of the first century church. They didn't experience the real thing. And the only way to experience the real thing is through the message of Christ, a message that ought to be found in our own hearts and in our own lives. Can you give it to them? The experience of God in your lives ought to be just coming out of your pores. Every time you open your mouth, every time you breathe in God. We don't need to copy nothing else. God calls us to be for him who he wants us to be right now. Right now. Stop mimicking the things of the past. Live for God right now. Experience God right now. We can't experience God through Job, through Rachel, David. We experience God through ourselves. Because all are going to stand before the throne of God and give account for the things that we've done in this body. For our own experiences, we're going to give an account. And if our experience is living for God, what a beautiful account that's going to be. Amen? And when that happens, when we start living our lives for God and stop pretending that we love God, all those cultural differences, all those personal differences, all those, listen, every difference that's out there is going to become insignificant. You know why God chose us? It's the same reason he chose Israel, so that he might reveal his character to the world in us. And God didn't choose Israel because she was strong and cultured or good. But he chose Israel for the same reason he chose us, because we were weak and helpless and downtrodden. We were filled with sin, but at the right time, God sent his son. He chose us because we were weak and helpless. And it wasn't any arbitrary decision that he made. It was to reveal the character of God. God has chosen you and me that he might experience our lives with us. It's his very nature, it's his character. It's the same thing that drove him to deliver the Israelites. It's the love that God has for each and every one of us. And God calls us the same way he called Israel out of Egypt. He calls us out of sin. But we've got to recognize that we're steeped in sin, that we're trapped, that we're in bondage to sin. And when we hear that call, we gotta wanna come out of it, but too many of us like where we at. We like it. Let me tell you something else about God's character. It's God's character that reveals his desire to have a relationship with us. The question is, you know what I'm got to say? Do you want to have a relationship with God? I'm talking about a true and genuine, not something superficial. Let's talk about God on a Sunday and Wednesday, but all through the week. Where is God in my life? Forget about looking at somebody else and how they, air quote, serve God. What is your responsibility in your relationship to God right now? How do you experience God in your life right now? Because it's only through a relationship with God that we are going to experience God. And God knows this, and he desires even to have a relationship with little old me. He wants it. I don't know how he puts up with me, but he still pursues me. Me. I mean, come on, huh? But too many people feel like they're called of God, and you know, they get their noses up in the air and they get a little pride with them, because they feel like they're superior above other people because I'm in the Church of Christ. God's call to us was never a point of pride or superiority, but it was a declaration of the very nature of who God was. His love calls us out. It's like he calls the whole world, he calls us out. You see, what we have to understand, it's not our need rather than our worth that was at the very heart of God calling us. It wasn't because we were worthy, it's because we needed God. The call of God wasn't given to confer a favor upon those called. What his call does, it demands a response to God for the compassion he had on each and every one of us. And we ought to be thanking God every day of our lives when we look in the mirror, when we roll out the bed, when we get in our car and drive. We don't know if we're coming home. You don't even know who's going to be taking your shoes off. Moses wrote these words in Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 through 6. He says, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. The whole earth is mine, and you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Isn't that incredible? Incredible. Just stay in relationship with me, and you will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Just don't break relationship with me. And that demands a response from us. The compassion of God always demands a response from us. But most people, when they speak about God, they automatically think about rules and regulations. They don't think about a relationship with God. They think about, oh, Lord God, looking down at me, I'm so sorry, I don't know if you, I'm whatever. Let me tell you something. If anybody is trapped in our relationship with God, it's God that's trapped by us. We enslaving God. God's not enslaving us because he gives us a will. His nature compels us. The nature of God compels us to surrender our will to him. Total and complete surrender to God because of his compassion and his love for each every one of us. And I don't know if you understand that enough to give that to God. Experiencing God involves allowing your life to be an extension of your own personality of God. You've got to allow God to work through your personality to reach the world. When God becomes so intertwined in our lives, we become one with God. One. It only happens when we seek to experience God's presence in our own circumstances. We minding too many other people's business. We've all got our own circumstances that we can allow God to intervene in our lives. We've all got our own life experiences. Some are different, much different from others, and some are similar, but it's still your own experience. But you know, a lot of folks today, they equate spirituality with spending time alone with God. That's what they say. Oh, I'm going to spend some time alone with God. I want to experience those tender moments in the presence of God. And I'm not knocking that. I'm not going to knock that. However, you would get closer to God by embracing the cross. There you go. Stop embracing your own selfish will. You will get closer to God if you will embrace the cross of God, because it'll present circumstances in your life, if you put it at the foot of the cross, that God will provide for you. You clean it up, but you got to put it at the foot of the cross. You can't just go and sit in some room and say, you know what? I'm going to experience God for myself. I'm going to get some spiritual experience right in. It's going, nah, it's about the cross. That's what it's about. It's about the cross. Jesus even asks us that. He says, take up your cross daily and follow me. And what that means is that our cross has to be present in our daily experience. The cross has got to be present in our lives, and we've got to take it up, we've got to carry it if our experience of God is going to be real. We've got to allow our circumstances to sweep us up into knowing that we're going to discover what the cross of Christ is all about. Got to know that. It's only at the foot of the cross, it's only there that you're going to experience the presence of God in your life. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. Only at the foot of the cross. And everybody wants a spiritual experience, don't they? But here's what I want you to know. Spiritual experiences surround us all the time. Because Satan comes to us, and what does he do? Tempt our spirit. He does. They're all around us. Everybody wants a spiritual experience. And when we fall over about a dozen times a day, you can't avoid them if you try. But here's what I want you to know. A spiritual experience is simply a matter of recognizing and acknowledging our relationship to God and whatever is going on in our lives at the time. That's a spiritual experience. Inviting God into your life. That he might continue to love on us. Might continue to love upon him. That our relationship might become one. That's what a spiritual relationship is. Because God is involved in everything that we do. He doesn't pop in and out of our lives like some people say. He doesn't do that. Paul said on the Areopagus, for in him we live and breathe and we move and we have our very being. We live surrounded by God. We live and breathe God just as we live and breathe air. If you want a spiritual experience, here's what the psalmist says about getting a spiritual experience. And we all know this scripture. Psalm 46:10. You know what he says if you want a spiritual experience? He says, be still and know. Is that all right? You be still and know. Don't tell somebody else to shut up and be. You be still and know that I am God. To know that our God is present, we don't want to pause a second and reflect. We just got to keep still. We just got to stop hearing ourselves for a change and allow the silence of God's presence to speak volumes in our lives right now. Right now. We've got to zip it up because God will only come through doors that are purposely open for him. Right? Here I am, he says, Revelation 3:20, here I am. I can see Jesus standing at the door of your heart with his cap in his hand, and you're peeping through the blinds. Oh, that's just Jesus. I'm not letting him in. He puts his cap back on, and he still stands there because he wants to come in. He said, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they will sup with me. Are you opening up the door of your heart for Christ? Where is your experience with God? Is it just superficial? Is it real? Let me tell you something about us. About me. Talk about y'all. Talk about me. I could seem to live as near to God as the shore is to the ocean and still not find him. Still not find him. He may seem to be closer to me than a breath or even an arm's length, and I can still miss him. Why? Because sin is against us. And sin will prevent us from experiencing God in our lives. He said, where sin is, I'm not going to be there. Sin will isolate us from God so we can't experience his presence in our own circumstances. It will isolate us from God so we can't experience God in our own lives. It's obvious, though, throughout the Bible, that true belief in God is a result of your own experience of God. When you read the Bible, you've got to place yourself in those situations. You've got to place yourself in that circumstance. It's obvious that true belief in God is a result of your own experience of God rather than knowledge of a correct theological understanding of God. The scribes and the Pharisees had a wonderful theological understanding of who God was, and they stood right in front of the face of Christ and missed him. Standing right in front of him, and they missed him. Are we doing the same thing? God is present in all of our lives. And the old adage says sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. It's because of our experiences. It's how we focused our life and our eyes. Are we focused on Christ? Are we? Let me tell you what I believe. And this is just me. You don't have to believe that. This is what I believe. I believe that God still comes to us in the events of our lives only to reveal himself to us through our life experiences. That's what I believe. However, He can only come to us in our circumstances if we allow him to be involved in our personal life experiences. He cannot do anything that you do not allow him to do, and he will not. God wants to become involved in our personal experiences. He wants us to allow him to direct our lives through personal obedience of his word. We saw it in the Old Testament, how the Israelites saw the hand of God, and how he used men and natural laws to accomplish his will in their time of need. Let me tell you what God did when Joshua chapter 10. He entered in battle with Joshua, and he led those Israelites to battle. That's what he did. In Joshua chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, listen to what the Bible says here about God being in the circumstances of his people. After all night march from Gilgal, Joshua 10, 9 through 13, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them in confusion before Israel, who defeated them in a great victory at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road going up to Beth Horon and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Makkedah. As they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Azekah, the Lord hurled large hailstones. Listen to what God did for his people. He hurled large hailstones down from the sky, and more of them died from the hailstones than were killed by the swords of the Israelites. You don't have to fight. You don't have to fight. Just trust God. Experience God in your life, and you don't have to fight. Because once you start fighting, you're going to have to continue to fight. Let God do the fighting. Verse number 12. One day, the Lord God gave Amorites over to Israel. And Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, O sun, stand still over Gibeon. O moon, over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still. You believe that? And the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself of its enemies. He will stop the sun and the moon for his children. But only those of us who experience him in our lives in such a way that our faith abounds to God in all aspects of our lives. I'm talking about serving God for real. I'm talking about being for real. That's what they say in the neighborhood, right? For real. For real. Serving for real. You know what a powerful experience of God begins with today in our lives? It begins with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It begins as we are baptized into Christ, and it's followed by our resurrection to a new way of living. And we allow our lives to be directed by Christ in a powerful way by living and experiencing God in a relationship with him. So that's what it is. I'm going to read you these last two verses, and we're going to get the invitation song. Here's your last two verses. It's an invitation to God right here. 1 John chapter 2. Verses 1 through 6. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know God, I know him. That sounds like me. I know him. But doesn't do what he commands is a lie, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, the love of God is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. We must experience God the same way that Jesus experiences God. Got to do that. Got to be an example. 1 John chapter 2, verses 24 through 25. As for you, see that you who have heard from the beginning, that what you've heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, eternal life. And what an experience that's going to be. How are you doing with experiencing God in your life right now? We have got to experience God if we want to go to heaven. There's no two ways about it. I'm not talking about a superficial relationship. I'm talking about a true relationship with God. Surrender your will to him in all things. Surrendering yourself completely to God and being vulnerable to his will. We can do it. And those of you who don't even know God, but I invite you today to study God's word. Somebody out here can help you and direct you into understanding God's will for your life. And you can hear his word. You can believe that Jesus is the Christ. You can confess your sins and you can repent of those sins and be baptized in Christ for the remission of your sins. If we can help you to do that today, once you come, we stand and sing the invitation song. Tender Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Whether we someone today to experience God in their lives, those of us that are Christians, if we've been wandering away from God, let's come back to the experience that God gives us, that we might be walking in the light and forgiven of our sins. Won't you come home this morning? Come home, come home.
Your prayers to God are so important. Thank you.
Franklin Street Church family. My dearly beloved sister, Emma Brown, passed away early Saturday morning. She was battling many illnesses, but was still up and about. She went into the hospital a week ago and had surgery. She came through the surgery, but was placed in ICU and was just too ill to pull through. All these years, we were seven sisters sharing a genuine friendship that very few people get to experience. We are grateful to God for time we had with her. We will miss her always. Please pray for her devoted husband, Albert Brown, their five children, and their entire family. Please pray for her six sisters, three brothers, and her many friends and family members that she leaves to mourn her passing. Thank you, Sister Doris Kegler. Juanita Fernandez, special needs. Please pray for me and my children. Ricky and Alma Bragg, health-related spiritual strength. Please pray for Alma. She's having a medical procedure tomorrow. Love everyone at Franklin Street. Barbara Anderson, health related. Good morning, brothers and sisters. My sister Angela Pointer started her first chemotherapy treatment. All went well. Please pray that Angela's body will be able to withstand the rest of her chemotherapy treatments. Thank you. Nettie Butler, prayers for safe travels to Pineville and Natchitoches, visiting family. Thanks. Aaron Clark,